My guest this evening, a South African doing great things, is Leroto Di Todi Mac Moagi. Did I get it right? Wasn't that thing? Leroto Di. What now? Eish, wasn't that thing? It wasn't that thing gets me into trouble. Todi Mac, good evening to you, my brother. Are you well this
I'm okaying yourself.
let me confess. So wasn't that thing has been like sitting me down, like say it like this. Lerotodi.
Lerotodi.
Or Lerotodi. Raindrop. La pula. Lerotodi la pula. My apologies. Yeah, my apologies, bro, for the bad intonation there. That's just the Ndebele tongue not wanting to loosen up here, my brother. But thank you so much for agreeing to talk to me, and just the great work that you're doing. Those of you who don't know Leroto Di Todi Mac Moagi, he's a Motswako pioneer and mentor. We're going to be talking about his work. Inspirational stuff. I sometimes talk about the guys doing the piano stuff, inspirational stuff, the guys that have done the work as far as Kwaito is concerned. These are all genres. I mean, you can go all the way back to Mbakanga if you want. All genres, yeah, that have defined South African pop culture in many, many different ways. And I'm going to be honoring this South African doing great things. I tried to do this when I told you, Mac, to explain to our listeners why it is that we have this slot. We have this slot in order to remind people that with all of the darkness, with all of the difficulties, with all of the things that are negative happening in our country and in the world, there are people that are just getting on with it, man. That are doing amazing things, and they are right here in our country. And we need to look at those people and see that these are our hope. These are the people that inspire hope in us to understand that maybe there is a Todi Mac in me, in my field, in my space, that can start a movement, that can start an inspirational situation taking place. And so, once again, I want to thank you, Todi Mac, Leroto Di La Pula Moagi, for agreeing to come and talk to me.
It's an honor and a pleasure to be on 702 tonight.
Much appreciated.
Yes, and it's, you know, just to extend on what you just said, given the theme of the show, I'm one strong believer that, you know, all the bad news and all the bad energy is being peddled. You know, it's not that there is no negativity in the world, but, you know, if you look properly, there are good things happening. It's just those good things are not being, you know, pushed as much as the bad things that are happening. So if you're not doing something good, at least find something good that's happening and talk about it.
Absolutely.
We're both doing it tonight.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And sometimes we get so caught up in it, you know, because it gives us a little bit of escapism. We get to forget about our problems, and we look at that big problem, and it makes us feel maybe I'm not so bad, right? And then maybe that's how these issues get peddled. But you're right; we need to find time and speak about the positive things. Let's talk a little bit about Motswako. I've just played something by one of the iconic artists who represented Motswako, and there are many. I mean, there are many. Amongst them yourself, Bo Kulichana, and all of those kinds of guys. But what is Motswako? Where does it come from?
Well, Motswako for us was a sense of identity for the Northwest child, you know?
Yeah.
Especially when Jeba said we made Setswana fashionable. When Jeba said, we pledge allegiance to Bokone Bophirima.
Yeah.
You know, such phrases are not to be taken lightly, or to be allowed to just fly over our heads. Because, when Jeba said on an album titled YBA to Northwest, which also was a very deep statement. I mean, YBA was the old, car registration.
Yeah, numbers, YBA, YBC. Yeah. Yeah.
I want, so the statement YDA to Northwest, means, you know, we were embracing this exodus from Phuthatswana into the Northwest province. And by saying we pledge allegiance to Bokonebu Phirima, we were embracing the new democracy. So Motswako was meant to be, because really before Motswako became popular, anyone from the Northwest was not proud to say they're from the Northwest, you know, just after 94.
Yeah.
You know? And so Motswako really politiki ya rona was to make the Northwest child proud to be part of this new, South Africa and to be part of this new province that yeah. I have roots
ko Skarala ko Themba. Ko Amanskarala. And
yeah.
I resonate with what you're saying about people who came from the old Bophuthatswana, for example, who were trying to yes. sort of stamp their South Africanness. Because yes. there was this idea that yeah you're not really South African, you know, and what I'm getting you from what you're saying is that Motswako was a consciousness of
yes.
the South Africanness of people from the Northwest,
yes.
And why is that? Why did people feel as though they were sort of alienated from
There was a stigma about it, you know, Banabahamangupe, you know, the previous leader of Phuthatswana was not a favorite of the current ruling party. So, there's even that narrative now in Mafikeng, you know, that people feel that the current ruling party was just sent to destroy Mafikeng because that was Mangope's pride, you know. And so this whole stigma of being called Banabahamangope, it wasn't nice to walk around
yeah.
carrying.
Yeah.
And so Motswako came to, you know, rip that monkey off a Northwest child's back, so yeah. to speak, and be that new badge of honor, you know. And now, you know, it went beyond that. I mean, we would run into kids from your Soweto, Tembisa and other places that were originally Batswana ko hai, but kubuiwa Zulu ko hai or kubuiwa Xhosa ko hai for survival purposes because of, you know, the area yeah, they yeah. chosen to live in. But after Motswako was popularized, these kids would come to us and, hey, you know, yesterday I played this song for my mom and she told me that ko hai actually re Batswana, you know?
Really, eh?
We just speak Zulu because, you know, koso etu ne hole soso. But, you know, yeah, she was telling us that actually re Batswana ko hai. So you actually started getting those people who were starting to admit that they were Tswana and starting to be proud that they were Tswana. You know, so it wasn't only just about the province and the political history, but also just about another political history, you know, that people were coming out and saying, yeah, re Batswana le rona ko hai.
Wow.
I know a girl, Tali K, said she grew up a Model C girl, Abgas Khoafela, and then only after she heard Motswako did she start learning to speak her mother tongue, and now she speaks it fluently.
Wow, eh? It appears to me that most movements, genres, I mean, you can go all the way from reggae to Mbakanga, to Maskandi, to Amapiano, are always a vehicle for consciousness. Yeah?
Yes.
Where did Motswako, did you guys come together and sit in a boardroom and say, today we shall start, today we shall start a movement called Motswako?
I mean, much like all the other genres that you've mentioned, it all starts with passion. And you know how passion is. It doesn't discriminate. It doesn't come from just one person. Before you know it, there are a few people resonating towards each other because they all feel the same thing or they all spiritually led towards the same direction. And I think whenever there's a musical movement, if you may, that rises like that, it's always because of people that just were vibrating at the same level and just resonated towards each other and gravitated towards each other. And this is what happened with us. I mean, when Jebba found us, we were back home in Mafikeng, you know, just those street corner rappers.
Yeah.
You know, we would go to parties and just be under that tree over there rapping, you know? And when Jebba met us, we had known about each other because we all grew up in Meth Town, but when we really met and saw each other for what we would become for real. It was at a party. DJ Temba was playing and he decided to switch to hip hop. Cause you know, back then parties were just house music, mm-hmm. right? And quiet. So at some point in the night, he started playing hip hop. And then we were standing under a tree in the dark. We just started a freestyle session.
Kaka mangosti.
You know?
I can almost see you guys under the tree.
You know, you got the picture. You know, so whatever, you know, obviously was drawn to this corner and his mind was blown and the rest was history. Actually, he was home, I think, for the holidays at the time because he was still at Rao.
Yeah.
When he went back to campus, he came back to Joburg with us. That's how much he was inspired.
Wow.
After that particular weekend. And yeah, the rest, as they say, is history. You know?
And like all of the other sort of genres, it wasn't just about music, right? It was about a way of life. It was about a consciousness, a lifting up of consciousness and deeper thinking of stuff.
Pride.
Yeah. Yeah. Sense of pride.
Yes.
But it was also very embracive. You know, it wasn't exclusive. I mean, you take Jabba for example. I mean, I'm told that he has Tsonga roots too, right?
This is how weird Motswako is, right? Very few of us in Motswako are actually 100% Batswana.
Yep.
Like your Momolimi and your Tuksinganga, right?
Yeah.
Tuksinganga actually is a descendant of the Royal Barolong family.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then the rest of us, I'm half Mopedi, half Motswana. My father, Kichilwane.
Yep.
And then there's KG, who's half Mvenda.
Yep.
And half Motswana, Kipaswana.
Yep.
And then you have Kuli, Kulani. You know, I mean, how many Kulanis do you run into?
Sure. So there's Nguni heritage there. Yeah.
So Motswako really is Motswako for real. Jabba is half Tsonga, as you just mentioned.
Yeah.
Motswako, I mean, the word itself means mixture.
Right.
And we were very much aware from that young age that we were not just about a mixture of genres, mixing hip hop with our, you know, local genre of kwaito, mixing, you know, English dialect or slang with tsotsitaal, you know, or a mixture of the old and the new.
Yeah.
You know, like we did on Lekwalo to Motswako. So, Motswako was really a broad concept of mixture, you know.
You know, I'm old enough to remember how hip hop, particularly in the Cape, started to become mainstream, really, really mainstream. At first, it was music. You know, I hip you. Understand?
But you're my man.
You're my man. But the guys in Mitchell's Plain. I forget what was the group's name.
Prophets of the City.
Yeah. They started that Motswako thing that was perfected in Mafikeng. In other words, I remember listening to the guys like the Prophet of the City, how they South Africanized.
I remember
exactly.
On a hip hop. That was the first hip hop chant that made me feel so proud to be South African.
Yeah, remember how I forget the names, man, but I'd listen to this stuff and I wasn't a big hip hop guy, but the guy comes on and he says, "Excellent, finally a new black president."
You remember?
and I remember thinking to myself, this sounds American, but it's got an undeniably South African cheek to it. Yeah.
Yeah,
and then I started to hear Jabba, and
that's where some of the inspiration came from.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was a seed that was planted in us that said, "Hey, man, you know, we can give this hip hop thing our own complexion."
Yeah. I want to take a quick call from Donald in Soshanguve. Hi, Donald.
Hi, Obre.
How are you doing, my brother?
I'm good, Obre.
Sure. He's there, he's here, man. Go for it.
Ke ba tlo botsa question one mara ka re go botsa tse pedi Todi Mac lesson one ke kra ka e ka ba utswitse ya ka mfutse.
So let me bring some of my other listeners into the conversation, guys. So Donald, very excited to hear that Todi Mac is on radio 702 nohal, eh?
Yeah. 702 nohal. Ke mo tsaya ka motswa ko manta. O tsaya ka motswa ko manta.
But Donald is really excited about that. But secondly, he wants to know somebody apparently who woke you up, Donald?
My sister called me and said, "Hey, bro, your boy is on radio."
Right, and what exactly are you looking for?
I just want to know he released album yeah lesson one na le solo da
ntle bara lesson one yeah
okay. we kra kai ka hore sa le ke baya ke rekile na kwela ko bareng ka bareng ni Master Nai. Nakwe Baisara.
Azanga kai bona ka mushopo.
Yeah, Master Miss Pidori. So Azanga kai kira mushopo ni aka vai kutsi tene bra.
So Donald, you want to find
straight, and you bought it straight from my hand, right?
From Todi Mac's hand. Ai ko shopo.
Yes. Yeah, Opo, I remember you bought it.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
So many years ago.
Ke tswa kholelo lona ba fwetse.
So you look you've lost it.
But whoever stole it, I'm not angry because that's a good album. He's like, whoever took it,
you know,
I understand.
You're not the only person. Actually, this past week, I think Monday or Tuesday, somebody else asked me, "Yo, man, when are you putting lesson one on the DSPs?"
Please. Please.
And, you know me, I'm a perfectionist, you know. So I've been listening to the album and I felt like I can't put it on online. That's old school mixing, you know. Music has improved and has enhanced, you know. So we are actually remastering some of the songs and they're going to come out in a project I'm working on later on this year.
So you mean you're going to release a Lavi 2 like Umang, can Umang reload their WHP?
Something like that. The project that I'm releasing this year, it'll have some of the songs from lesson one. So I guess that's good news for you, Obsa.
Donald, thanks.
It's good news. And one question that I'm asking for all the Mutsako guys.
Yeah.
Let's have a trilogy alone, never food. Don't answer.
Donald in Soshanguve, I'm going to let you go, man. Thanks very much.
Yeah.
Very, very.
Yeah.
It appears that the part of the Mutsako legacy and part of the Mutsako's legacy in the music fraternity is that unashamedness of the hustle. I hear a lot of the Mutsako guys are the guys that sell their CDs out of the boot of their cars. I know other people do it, but it's almost as if the Mutsako guys look for the hustle in that way, so that it's part of the strategy of being able to connect with your audiences. Is that part of the thinking?
Yeah, I mean, And actually, that sort of thing was born from the initial struggles that we went through, that we faced when we were breaking into the industry. Remember, Kwaito had a stronghold on the industry for very many years at the time. And I mean, when we were coming out, Booger Love had just gone solo, you know? So you can imagine the height. That was the height of Kwaito at the time.
Panzola for life.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
my guest was coming out with Ngrobiangena.
Yeah.
You know, it was tough. It was a tough time in the industry for a rapper, you know? And if you think, you know, about the era in which we came out, rappers were not as affluent as they are known to be today.
Yeah.
You know, we were not buying mansions. We weren't driving Bentleys. We hardly had cars. You know, if you were a rapper with a car, that was admirable, no matter what the brand was.
Yeah.
You know? So we came up during the time of the hustle for the rapper. So we were used to not having the middleman between us and the fan. And once, you know, things started changing, those who felt trapped to the industry are the ones who weren't used to working themselves, you know. I always say to my students, you know, you do the work and the job will find you at work. And you'll decide if you want the job or not.
Yeah.
But if you go looking for a job, you hate the work.
I want to take a quick call. I want to take a quick call from Mandla in Pretoria. Hi, Mandla.
Hey, what's up, Bob? Rikunjan first.
Hey, Tami Auti.
I'm good. Yo, Todi, what's up, man?
Ah, what's good, brother?
I'm good. Todi, look, man, I'm not going to be long. I'll tell you, I Kingsway Luen. I was in yellow class. Our teacher was Miss Anin. It was you, Koto, Twa, Karabo Mochali, and them. Sorry to name drop. I just want to say, man, I'm really proud of you, my dog. Like, you're always really cool to me. Untwana Ustuli, our moms actually worked for Bob TV together. So that's how you know I'm not lying. I just want to say.
What's
your surname? I was in yellow class. I played basketball. I was really muscular as a kid. And I was a bit corny, but then I became cool at the end. But then, yeah.
I think I remember you.
Yeah, man.
What's good, brother? Wow.
Dog, I haven't seen you since the name Cody Mac. I remember you were always known to go primary for it. And one thing people don't actually acknowledge is if you don't know but the name Cody. I gave you that name because we used to call you Toad Man, hop to it, Toady, Toady. And you didn't like it at first. But
I
then
think
you started
so, yeah.
Yeah.
I, so think I just want to say. Oh my God.
So Manda, look, bro. So you probably should get your 10%.
Wow. Yeah, I remember this too.
Let me just close it off by saying this. Toady's always been what he is today. Like back in high school, although he was like, no, he was very smart and he had a good heart. Yeah. And he's always been about the music. Like I remember listening to Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah.
You know, people don't know that Shaq used to rap. Toady used to know all those raps. He used to come to school with Walkman. So I'm really proud of you, my man. The music. I haven't been to Maftown in like years though. But I grew up in Rivera Park. So yeah, man. I've been a fan of yours on Ghana.
Thanks very much for the call. Much appreciated. Yeah?
Big up, bro.
You know, as you
thanks for taking me down memory lane, brother.
As you drive into Mufftown, I don't know if that's the. I haven't been to Mufftown in a long time. My aunt passed away many years ago, but was a resident of Mufftown years ago, more than 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. But as you drive, and I've since been to Mufftown after that, but as you drive to Mufftown, there is a place called Motlhabi.
Yeah.
There's a pungent smell. Is that place still there?
Yes. You know, the most amazing thing about just the planning, Yamafikeng, it's the only place I've ever known that had people from the suburbs going to the township to go shopping. Because remember, Mega City was in the
Yes.
Not go Riviera Park, not go for the first time, you know, like before your Mamponya malls, before anything, that it was the only, people would come to Mafikeng and say, hey man, this is the first place I go to and the mall is in the hood.
Yeah.
Like people literally come from town to the hood to go to the mall because the hood looked better than town.
No, listen. Tautona, you know, say whatever you want to say about Tautona and, you know, all the politics, but the guy had a vision. The guy had a vision. I know some people won't like me saying this, but the fact of the matter is that the guy had a vision. Many of our radio personalities, right? Cut their teeth, go Radio Bob, Bob TV.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Yes. Your Melanie son.
Yeah. I was in the same class with Melanie. Bob Mabena. So you know, we can say what we want, but the guy had some vision and he did some pretty extraordinary developmental stuff back then, you know. So I mean, you say whatever you want, but you know, don't be a hater. You know what I'm saying? So the question that I want to ask is, how does Motswako become a movement? How does it? Because it's
the fans.
It happened so quickly, man. Yes,
it's actually the fans, because really we were just trying to get people to fall in love with the music, but what the people were quickly picking up from the music, especially, you know, Jeba was alone. He was this Motswako monolith, right?
Mm.
And then. And then came us, you know, Murafi, then came Dukes, then came Mulimi. So then you quickly began to feel like, okay, this is a corner of the South African music industry that we can embrace, you know. And the more we started coming out, and how we were coming out was really, I think, special to people, because we were not coming out sounding the same.
Yeah.
It was, you could hear that it's the same genre, but you could hear different styles coming out.
Sure.
You know? And it was sort of like reggae in a way, you know?
Yeah.
Some guys were skunking, some guys were, you know, doing that Naya Bingi, some guys were, you know, in your reggae terms, there are different styles of reggae.
Yeah.
Right? And so Motswako was kind of coming out like that. And the people are the ones who kind of, you know, branded us up together and forced us, you know, to have promoters booking us for the same shows. Before you know it, promoters were the ones, you know, naming their shows Motswako this, Motswako that, Motswako Republic. I mean, I remember the Orla, DJ Zondi, he was the first person
to
put together the Motswako Republic gig. And it was the first success. In fact, that gig, after a couple of years, when we tried to revive it, it became what Meftown Heights, what we then came to know as Meftown Heights.
Yeah.
But the first concept of Meftown Heights came out through DJ Zondi as Motswako Republic, where you got your double HP, Dukes, Mulimi, Murafi on one stage, where guys like Casper were born.
Yeah.
And, you know, till today, we have your Matlerato boys. We've always been about paying it forward, you know, succession in Motswako. Yeah.
And that is a big, big, should we call it a virtue of Motswako? And okay, maybe not limited to Motswako. Many genres, many guys do pay it forward. But Motswako is, Until lately, but Motswako, when it was coming up, it wasn't about beefing and you know, the stuff that you get nowadays. There was a camaraderie about Motswako. There was a cleanliness. There was a brotherhood. There was an acceptance, an embraciveness about Motswako that sometimes it looks like is contrived, or the beefing it looks like it's contrived nowadays, but that's not the fundamental character of Motswako. Am I getting it wrong?
Actually, you're quite right. We were never about the fights, you know. The man we've now dubbed the Motswako Messiah, the late great WHP, Jabba is one person who would always, I remember when he was mentoring Casper, he would always be on him about manners. He would always be on him about humility.
Yeah.
And if you remember what broke the relationship between Jabba and Casper apart was when Casper started beefing with AKA, yeah, and Jabba wanted Casper to walk away from it.
Yeah.
And Casper saw an opportunity in the beef, which we at the time were all not seeing it, but I guess now we can see what he was looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that kind of hurt Jabba because Motswako was never about the beef, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But I guess
he was always the reconciliatory guy, right? I mean, he was always the guy was, guys, sit together, let's talk, let's, you know?
Yes, yes. You know, although towards the end of his life, he was in a lot of pain and, you know, he was lashing out. And a lot of people will remember him lashing out on social media. Mm. But it was mainly because of all the things that he had worked so hard to try and keep together that were just falling apart.
Yeah. I want to take a call from Tali in Florida. Tali.
Hey, bro, Susan.
Hey, Tarame, bro. Are you well?
I'm very well, thank you, my brother.
Nice one, Tali. What's on your mind?
Hey, Marajayan, the 10% story, thank you.
Hey, man.
Did I see?
There's a troublemaker, Jabra Hobbs.
We need a little bit of trouble now and again, Charlie.
My leadership, Tony Mack, how are you?
I'm good, leader. How are you?
I'm good, my leader. You know, Bra Hobbs, you've got a giant in the music industry. And also someone who's very passionate about giving back and sharing knowledge. And, you know, I met Tony Mack. We did a Dragon's Den type of simulation with some students at Emendi Music Institute.
Yeah.
And I was one of the dragons there with him.
Yeah.
And we immediately connected, and our relationship, you know, just bonded even stronger all the way. My brother, Tony Mack, just keep at what you're doing, my brother. It is with people like you who have got the future at heart to see how do we develop the next generation and build a legacy. Yes. I salute you, my brother. My hat comes off, and I'm standing as I'm saying.
Hey, Tara! Hey, Tara!
You have a great one, my brother.
Hey, Tara, Charlie. Thanks very much,
Charlie. Thank you, my leader.
So one of the things, I suppose, for those people who might not even be remotely aware of what we're talking about, we're talking about a genre of music that gave birth to a movement, not just a movement, but a subculture, right? Or is it the other way around? Did the subculture give rise to a genre?
No, I think it's a style of music that gave birth to this culture. Because from the music, then you started to have guys that say, hey, man, I'm a doctor, but I'm a Motswako doctor. You know, you had a guy that says, hey, I'm a Motswako lawyer. We even have Motswako lawyers. You know, we have lawyers, we have doctors, we have accountants, we have people in different professions who feel like they're bringing a new twist to what they're doing, and therefore that's Motswako, you know? So we've seen it grow from the music to a culture, definitely.
I think that part of the success of Motswako as a subculture, including the music, is the embracing of mixture. I mean, the very word Motswako means mixture, right?
Yes.
in a world,
and usefulness and progression are always about embracing diversity.
Precisely. And most of the time, genres, subcultures want to promote a purity.
Yeah. It's funny, you actually get Motoko purists now.
Really?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
It's a weird thing. It's a weird thing because there are people who want Motoko to have stayed the way it was, you know, back when WHP was still alive, back when, you know, Motoko was still at his prime. You know, there are people who say what Casper has evolved Motoko to is not Motoko. There are people who say what Majara Do Boy has evolved, what Motoko is today. There are people who feel now they've ruined it. But it's the same narrative with hip hop.
Yep.
There are people who feel 90s hip hop was real hip hop. And what you hear today from your Lil Wayne's and them, and, you know, even down to Da Baby and Lil Yachty.
Yeah.
Is not hip hop to some people because so you do get purists in Motoko.
Lil Motoko.
Yeah.
Sure.
If you're a touring house, a shop is still at WHP. I wait to Motoko.
Oh,
but Motoko has all because we have since had your Doc Shebelezas, we've since had your Tito Mboweni's, we've since had, and now your 018, you know,
yeah,
it's been evolving. I mean, Kuliano, look at the new Kuli song. That's Motoko as well.
Yeah.
Embracing Mapiano, you know?
Embracing Mapiano, yeah. I'm interested to hear. I mean, and Motoko, I suppose we started to see real millionaires from that genre. Mm-hmm. Here's a subculture, township Garci thing that produced millionaires, man. I mean, for me, that was something to watch, and I'm seeing it with Amapiano, how is it fair to say that Motoko is evolved from American hip hop with South African issues and dialects and so forth. And there's always a very interesting. I mean, I talked about the prophets of the city. I'm thinking about Proverb from Soweto, and then Jabba. I get the sense that we are watching an evolution that then later delivered Amapiano to us. Would that be a fair?
Actually, to put it more, analytically. We would say Amapiano is like a new style of Kwaito that embraces lyricism. And the lyricism side of it comes from Motoko.
Yeah, because Motoko was the lyricist,
The musical, the composition, the musical side of it is still very much, it's got a Kwaito groove.
Yeah.
Yes, the bass line is progressive, it's unique. But what you're really getting from Amapiano is like Kwaito with well-processed lyrics this time around.
Wow. Go to Kwaito a private school.
Yeah. Ke Kwaito it's in school of swimming pool.
Tepo is in Molapo in Soweto. Hi, Tepo.
Hey, bro, love it.
Good, man. What's on your mind, brother?
Shout out to Tony T. Tony Mac, man. Listening to Morafi, and you get back, you think of the guys Bafikile also.
Yeah.
I mean, you cannot
crowded talk crew.
Crowded crew with KB. I mean, I can mention even Stone. But guys, man, I just want to ask you, man, how did you get those songs right on that Morafi song? Even today, I'm still rocking that track of this one, Here We Stand. There's a powerful words that you sing about in that song, man. Here We Stand, you can even play today. It will just lift you up, man. Yeah.
Produced by Tasman.
that trap even today, man, when you play it, Here We Stand, can give you that oof when you're listening to it.
Here We Stand.
Yeah,
man, music.
Yeah.
We grew up, we were those rappers that didn't really listen to rap. That's the thing. Yeah. We didn't really listen to hip hop. Yeah. I mean, we loved it. We loved to create it, but we also fell in love with other genres. You know, I mean, at my aunt's house, we would listen to your Sibongile Khumalo's May Your Soul Rest in Peace. We'd listen to your Hugh Masekela's May Your Soul Rest in Peace. We'd listen to your Tepo Tula's May Your Soul Rest in Peace. So, you know, we were very much aware that the hip hop guys in the States were inspired by their jazz greats. Right?
Yeah.
So we were digging into our own crates and thinking, okay, where can we find inspiration here at home that, you know, when we lay it on wax, someone will be able to resonate with it and say, hey, man, this, even though I don't like hip hop, even though I don't like rap, this resonates with me, you know? Because we rap for people that don't like rap. You know, that's Motswako. you know,
there are many genres and movements in South Africa. You know what?
Yes.
Earlier I spoke of my hippie, my panzola, different groups that were identified. Oh, I've just lost Tody Mac. Is he still there?
I'm here.
Oh, sorry, man.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, so we have all of these subcultures. Mahipi, Mabantsola, I see
cat, my Ivy,
and so on. and there's an interesting one that I find very interesting out of KwaZulu-Natal, Mapina. I find those cats, I find those guys very interesting. I think they're cool. and their music, Maskandi music, and so forth.
I have big respect for Maskandi music.
Yeah.
I believe they have the most creative social commentary I've ever heard.
Yeah. I was talking about Puzukemis no Ketan. And you know, Ngaboni. Aboni stena na na na. So cool. I just can't remember there you go. and a lot of people didn't know that was commentary about the fiefdoms in KwaZulu-Natal. You know, and Maskandi continues to be protest. Music, even to this day, or not just protest, of course.
Social commentary.
Here's my issue, though. Are we seeing that in any other genre in South Africa that has become a
Amapiano?
Yeah, talk to me.
Amapiano actually does that beautifully. You know, you would be listening to an Amapiano song and you hear the lyrics talking about a child who doesn't listen at home, who's always partying, doesn't listen to parents.
I hope my son's listening.
Ila Wangan back, you know, she listens to her friends, doesn't listen. You know, like the social commentary on Amapiano actually, I mean, something Soweto, I think it is. I call it the cock blocking anthem. The one where he says, I'm a chance. You know,
that's
social commentary. That he's talking to his niece or his child saying, you know, hey, beware of these boys.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Beautiful music. Amapiano has really beautiful social commentary, you know.
But why didn't we see that in Motswako?
Oh yeah, Motswako had social commentary too.
Yeah.
You know, we just did it in a very, you know, we were abstract artists.
Yeah.
You know, we liked to take you know, they, I mean, WHP Hudira Halang, WHP Harambe.
Oh yeah.
One such song. You know, I mean, Dukes Nganga gave you page after page of Motswako storytelling, you know?
I'm gonna interrupt you, brother. We've got some radio royalty calling in right now. Brakeni Maestri joins me now. Brakeni!
What it is, fam. shout out to my nephew, Tody Mac.
Wow.
To my late cousin, Elaine's daughter,
that's
Levi.
My uncle, yo. You guys don't understand.
My uncle. Brakeni, I'm moved, man. I'm moved. Yeah. Talk to us, Brakeni.
Yo, you guys are touching on some very heartwarming points and you know, stuff that is close to me. I'm just thinking back to the Midday Mother Mix 26 years ago, or 27 years ago when I joined Metro FM. And, you know, a guy like WHP wasn't getting airplay on Metro FM until Kick-Ass Kenny arrived on the scene.
Come on.
And, you know, back then, Kwaito was dominating. You know what I'm saying. And Kwaito was the genre, you know. And here's this guy putting some Tswana rap lyrics there and trying to go the hip-hop route. There was this big beef between the Kwaito guys and the hip-hop cats, you know. But the point is that it was South African music.
Yeah.
And the industry was evolving. Initially, when Kwaito started, like with Amapiano, you know, it was a bit rough around the edges. The lyrics weren't the best. The production wasn't the best. But I always said you have to give this genre a chance because it was a genre that reflected a generation. For us, the Born Free generation, Kwaito was the genre. But, you know, for the current generation, it's Amapiano. So for me, as an elder in the sphere and an SA Radio Hall of Famer, I would like to say that just, you know, give the music a chance, give the artists a chance, support them, because at the end of the day, it's a reflection of who we are as a people. And I mean, if we look at, you know, during COVID as an example, where people started listening to the radio a lot more simply because of limited socializing. And even on 702 Music Weekends and Soulful Sunday in particular, music became the connecting point, and music radio became the connecting point for family and friends. And, you know, Jerusalem was the anthem for not just South Africa, I think the world.
Yeah.
So I would start off my show on a Saturday morning with that track.
Yeah.
And that set the tone for the rest of the weekend. And it's just an indication of how we, as a small little country on the southern tip of, you know, the most incredible continent in the world, has the ability to touch people's lives through our music and our culture and our language. So, you know, we're bigger than what we realize we are, and, you know, the role and the sphere of influence that we have. So, you know, shout out to all the artists who are doing their thing. From my side, you know, I love you guys and I support you guys, and I just like you to encourage you guys to be positive and stay on that tip. You know, you guys touched on the beef that was happening in the industry.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing that happened with hip-hop culture. I remember being on radio, and suddenly in South Africa, you had East Coast, West Coast beef going on. And I'm like, guys, this is South Africa. We're not the U.S. Say again?
It's not states,
direct translate that.
We like to buy beef that isn't even ours, you know?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So let's be clear about that. We have a bigger agenda, and that is of building this country, building this nation, and bringing South Africans together. We see it with the Springboks. We saw it with Dricus du Plessis. We see it with that young police officer who put his picture on social media. You know, the South Africans are so positive about everything South African, you know? So, we've got a bright future, man. Let's keep rising.
Brakeni Maestri.
Man, that's my OG. That's my uncle, man.
Itara. Show Brakeni. Oh, man, I think I can I can go to Radio Heaven right now. I'm good. I can go. I've done my work here, bro. I'm good. Listen, yesterday I asked the question and Brakeni raises it. And I was saying it in a moment of a little bit of frustration to say, when we speak of South Africanness,
yes,
what immediately comes to your mind?
Wow.
I'll tell you why
I would say,
yeah, go for it.
South Africa is forever healing, you know?
Yeah.
So South Africanness is for me, South Africanness is forever about getting over a pain.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, soothing, you know,
sure.
Yeah.
We grew up in the villages. Yeah, yeah.
Kids nowadays,
they wear those thick soles, man. You know, how are they going to do that?
You know, if you've ever had to sit down and negotiate a thorn out of your foot,
yeah,
that's South Africanness.
And I would argue that Motswako is probably one, but maybe one of the primary musical manifestations of that very idea. Motswako meaning.
Yes. Yeah.
Meaning a mixture, a diverse mixture. And for me, I think that it's very apt that we have this conversation right now, because I think you guys at the Motswako Fontein have really broken into something that really is quintessentially South African, but also very, very international and cheeky like that. And I hope that you guys, as I stand up, you know, as I stand up to salute you and salute the genre, I want to say thank you, man, for the work that you guys are doing. I know that you're also teaching, you're lecturing, that you guys have taken Motswako to another level, where you've not only made it soulful, but you've also intellectualized it. And I think that we're going to learn a lot from this particular genre. So, Todi Mac, I want to thank you, my brother, for agreeing to talk to me. And where do we find you? Where is Morafe going to be doing their next thing? How do we get a hold of you?
I'm at Todi Mac, TODWDWEMAC, on all social media platforms. For bookings, it's todimac@gmail.com or 0627971169. You call the same number to book Madara Doughboy or Tato Saw or Pretty Ugly. That's my wife. She manages all of
Pretty
us,
ugly.
Including Morafe and Kulichana as well. So, Morafe, we are working on something. So you're bound to see us on stage with Kuli very soon. We're going to start doing that. I'm also working on some material of my own. I'm working on new artists as well. You know, I'm an artist developer.
Yeah.
And, you know, so man, I do events with my wife as well, silent parties, you know, where people wear headsets and dance in silence.
Wow.
Crazy if you don't have the headset on.
Wow.
But other than that, I just like to leave, you know, the young musician, the young South African musician, with one word: your mud is your gold. You know, there are those things that you might take for granted or even be ashamed of yourself, that you can use, as your gold, you know, that you can use to win. You know, Jonah Matrading says poverty can be romantic. In black and white, it looks like art. So those very things that you look at, you know, You can do a TikTok dancing in front of a crawl of cows and trend in Japan and New York because they can't duplicate that.
Yeah.
But if you try and duplicate what they already have, you are less likely to win. So your mud is your gold.
Lero Todi Mac, Moahi, Motswako pioneer and mentor.